So again, so the ninth parak deals with planting truma. Right? The Gemara starts off, Mishra says, Zorei truma shogeg, you b'shogeg, you back, you have to turn it. Because it was aser. Why was it aser? So again, one reason is that it's mivatal mishem truma, which is a problem. Right now, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says, well, why exactly is that? What exactly is the... Right now, he says, well, because what grows is chulin, right, so you might have looked at that as ibud, or it's just, you know, yeah, you meant to eat it, right? It's destruction, right? Or it's that you're allowed to eat it or get hana'a, and through hana'a shel kiloi, right? Destroying it while you're benefiting and this you're not. Whatever it is, it's a misappropriation. So if you do it b'shogeg, so then you have to turn it over to stop it from growing. But b'mezid yikayim. Mezid, you're allowed to keep it. Now, why, right? That sounds counterintuitive, right? Why would you say that it's less chamor b'shogeg than b'mezid? So the reason is follows, right? That we say that if he does a b'shogeg, so we punish him for being careless. Now, this isn't going to be destroying truma. Why is it not destroying them? Because it doesn't have truma status yet. Right, meaning the seeds don't have truma status yet. Right now, it might not be destroying truma for planting it properly. Right, we said it might be, but it might not be. Right, maybe because it's going to grow back. Right, and therefore, so maybe you know you'll look at it because it's going to grow back. Maybe it's not full destruction. But by mezid, you don't. Instead, we punish you by making you treat that which grows as truma, right? Which is another way of punishing you. Now, others, that this all assumes that this is a type of a punishment, but others assume that that's not what's going on. That this is not a punishment. The point is... the person b'shogeg has options. He can either destroy it and plant chulin in its place, or he can let it grow, because since he didn't plant it b'mezid, he's allowed to destroy it, but he doesn't have to. But by the person who's intentional, right, he must let it grow and treat it as truma. That's his punishment.
How can it be that it is fully truma?
It's not fully truma. We will force him to treat it as truma. Yeah. Shlish, and if it grows to third.
If the person's a Kohen, how is that really a Knas?
Well, we're not dealing with a Kohen, presumably. But even a Kohen might prefer to have Chulin. Shlish, if it reached a third, then Ben Shogig Ben Mezid Yekai. Then you have to keep it because it's gotten a certain amount of Truma status once it's food. And once it's edible. Now, even though normally something that's attached to the ground can't become truma, it becomes truma-like, as we'll see. Uve fished on b'mezid, but by flax, even if he did it b'mezid yupach, he turns it over, right, so that it won't grow. Why? Because by flax, the main value of it comes from the stalks. Now, if you, right, because that's what you make linen, if you plant it, so, only the seeds, which are edible, right, or somewhat edible, you know, flax seeds, very healthy for you, you know, omega-3s and stuff like that, only those are truma because they're edible. So the stalks will be mutter. And therefore, we need to punish you by making you turn it over, because otherwise, the only part of it that's going to be truma is the edible part, which is the part that you don't want, right? Or you want less than the stalks, which you're using for linen. Now... the assumption that we just read is that it doesn't, the stalks don't become truma. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rafulda quotes it here. And he says, Bepishna vil mezi yucha vile veshlish, kadosh lo yena, bekismen agven, lecha zera, vad eno drubit, ikra pishna mishum agivolin, who? Vuyasha vikaran mishum hazera. He said that no, the chiddush is precisely this, that the stalks will become truma, and people don't know that. And the Rambam himself contradicts himself. Right, because he says in the Yad that none of it becomes truma, right? None of it becomes truma, not the, right? That's what he says here in Chavbet, which is Avachena Zara Pishna Truma Gdulin Mutar and Lazarim. It's simply mutter. Right? So he contradicts what he says in the Peresh Hamishnayot, which is not, you know, crazy that happens. Okay. Right now, Ruach Chaim Kanievsky also knows that it could be the Rambam switches, right, whether what Yupach means, right? Here he might think it's right, whether it's a Rishud or a Mitzvah. And that might help it explain. Okay. Right, and that here he's maybe just saying that it's Mutter Lahapech. And then, therefore, it wouldn't be, right, that would be where the Rambam gets the idea that it's not Kaddish at all, that there's no Chiyuv, it's just Mutter. And now this new product, which is chulin, chayevet belechet b'shichah v'peya, it's chayev in matnud aniyim, right? Because truma isn't, as we talked about in Masechet Peya, right? That either because it's hefker or because it has a chalos shame. So poor, you know, zarim non-kohanim and poor kohanim can take it. But poor Yisraelim sell it to the kohanim at the price of truma and keep the money, right? So they can't eat it because it's truma midarabanan, but they're allowed to keep it and make money off of it. Right? And they're obviously be sold at the lower price of truma because you're selling it, well, to Kohanim. Ritarfon omer, ein melakinto, ela anye Kohanim. But Ritarfon says no, right? Because we're worried that the poor people end up eating it or something like that. And therefore, the Kohanim have to do it. Shema Yishkol v'yitnu l'toch pihen. And Amar Rabbi Akiva, imkein lo yikto l'torim. He said, if you're going to go that far, then maybe you should only allow Tor Kohanim, right? If you're worried that people are going to pick it and automatically eat it, so then the only people should be allowed to pick it are the people who can eat it. Now, why would you push back on this? Well, you'll say, is the Tosef Yonatan Shem says, he says, oh, come on. Kohanim are more responsible about the Yisurim of Kohanim. Even, yeah, so they're Tamei now. But still, they're responsible. They understand the Yisurim in general. The Chayevet B'Maiser, B'Maiser Sheni, and you have to pay Maiser, sorry, B'Maiser Ani, you have to pay Maiser, right? Maiser Rishon, Maiser Ani, right? Obviously, as we've talked about in years 3 and 6. Va'ani Yisrael, Va'ani Kohanim, Nochlin, again, poor Notlin, so poor people, whether they're Kohanim or not, can take it. Vani Yisrael Mokhan Shalom, the Kohanim bin Meitrum. And again, the poor non-Kohen, will sell it to the Kohen for the price of Truma. Now, does Ritarfon disagree here as well? So, Mishnah Rishona says yes. Most of Farshim assume no, because if you remember, Ritarfon's concern was that maybe when they're picking, they'll forget. But Maisani, you don't pick, you're given it. And therefore, you know, you have a little bit more state of mind, right? Where he's saying, listen, this is yours to sell and make money off of it, right? People have that. Now, presumably, the Maiser Rishon as well has to be given to Levin. He has to sell it. Maiser Sheni, not clear, because you're not allowed to sell Maiser Sheni. So maybe you have to give it, right? The Radbaz suggests that he has to give it to the Kohen in Yerushalayim. Or maybe he has to redeem the money and buy it in Yerushalayim. Now, the problem here is why, right, why do we let him sell it to the Kohen at all? If it's Truma, you're not normally allowed to sell Truma. So it could just be, right? So some of the Parshim assume that, look, by Maaser Sheni, he has to give it. It's just that we have an exception by Maaser Ani, because we don't want to uproot the halacha d'oraita of giving the Matnot Aniyim to the Aniyim. And therefore, that's why we waive it on this Derabanan and let them sell it. But not necessarily for Maaser Sheni, where the people who are eating it are rich. The Chayavet b'Maaser Maaser Ani, sorry, we did that. Achovet Meshubach. And now when you're threshing it, what do you do? So, normally, right, you have the Isser of Chasima. You're not allowed to stop animals from eating food while they're working. What's the problem? So what do you do? So Achovet Meshubach. So the best thing would be to thresh it yourself with the animals. Right. Vadash Ketzad Yaseh. But let's say you don't want to do that. You are not good at you know, dealing with an entire field by yourself. What should you do? So you're not allowed to muzzle him. So he says, "Tole bekfifut b'tzaver behima v'notan l'tochan oto amin." You don't muzzle it. What you do is you put a little basket with food by its mouth. So whenever it's hungry, it'll eat that. V'limta lo zomin behima. So you're not muzzling and violating the isser of chasima. V'lomachal truma. You're also not eating a truma, right? Because you're giving it other food, and therefore he just won't eat truma because it's not hungry. But not because you muzzled it. Hazard Reya Truma Shove Gufach. So now the Gemara had said that if you plant it by accident, you have to turn it over. So the lo chilufin. Now the soil has to be turned over so that it doesn't keep growing, or Dali Khalifin, so it can't be replaced. Kanzu Bashivato Sadeo Agav Truma. And they punish you and require you to leave the field fallow because you violated this. Now this is based on one girsa. Right now, according to this, right, again, the issue is only on the shogi, but as we saw, Rambam says it differently, and according to him, we'd seen that someone who plants truma b'shogi is allowed to destroy it, but doesn't have to. So then how would you deal with our Gemara? So it'd say, at first, the Gemara assumed the Mishnah was only punishing the shogi by obligating to destroy it, but the intentional one is pater. The Gemara says, lo misavad lo chilufin. Shouldn't be the opposite way, right? And the Gemara says, you're right. It's only the mezid who's kansubo, that his field will be empty of chulin because he has to treat it as truma. And it's saying, yes, that is exactly the punishment. So now, but since we say that it's more that you get punished worse, bishogig than mezid, or truma bar avdu me by maoshe neman lomer mezid ayiti. What if the guy says, no, I'm evil. I did it bimezid. Just because he'd rather have to. Right, then he doesn't have to uproot it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is hard for the Rambam, who thinks that making him leave it is a bigger punishment. So based on that, the grudge just changes the gears up. Okay, so Amrulay, Imkshe Makirin, if other people knew that he planted Truma, we can't believe him because he has no evidence, and we already had evidence independent of him that he did something wrong. But if not, since he's the one who told us that he planted truma at all, an outsider would have said that it was nothing, right? It was just regular chulin. The fact that he's the one who told us, so apesh azur apesh hiter. Now, this is either a super amigo, right? Amigo, right, where we believe a weaker claim because you could have made a strong claim, or it's something else, right? Some hold apesh azur apesh hiter is not amigo, it's something fundamentally different, right? Because, right, it's not just that I have a better claim, it's that I didn't have to make a claim at all, right? Meaning, had I said nothing, I could have done whatever I wanted. The Achronim sometimes talk about amigo, is it a question of ne'amanut, right? That because I could have made a better claim, I'm more believable? Or they talk about things like koach hataina, you have a power, Chanan says this, right? That the fact you have a stronger claim means that you, like, inherit that power to make that claim. Now, I'm not sure that it's true, but I'm not the biggest fan of this by Migo, but by Pesha Aser, it might really be that, right? And there's a discussion, right? You have to do a Toch de Dibur. Then the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Yamin Bar Gidol Boy. So he asks, Zara Truma Karshin, if you planted Truma Vetch, right, which we talk about is this legume that's usually only eaten by animals and by people only if, you know, they really had to. So originally, it was totally pater from Truma and Maitre because people saw humans didn't eat it. And then in famine, people started eating it. So they created at least a Chiyuv Derabanan in it. So,
we had this
in Shias, yes, right? Yes. So Zara Truma Chutzar. So what about Truma of Chutzar, which is also Derabanan? Right, and again, which chutz laaretz? So let's go with these simple ones, like the areas around Eretz Israel.
Sorry,
Aza.
You know, whatever, Mitzrayim and, you know, Amon, Moab, whatever. Amrulay, Gzeirahi. They said they're Gzeira, Veng Zer, Legzeira. There is no Gzeira, Legzeira. Now, it is important to note, very briefly, that there are two approaches. The Emek Halacha, Rabbi Lam's grandfather is a very nice shuva where he summarizes that some is ain goes in l'gzera that we can't, like rabbis don't have the power to do it because we were given power to make zero to protect the Torah but not to protect rabbinic laws, or ain is we don't, like we usually don't because we don't need to protect, but sometimes we do. And the benefit of that is that many sugyot, despite sugyot like this, would say we don't, other sugyot say, well, We do. Yeah. Right now, there's a machlok in the mafarshim whether what it's asking here is, do you have to destroy these or do you have to treat them as truma at all? Right, so pay Moshe or Chashokhan say Nira. What it's saying is these aren't truma at all, right? Rather than some who say that no, it's whether it has to be destroyed. Yeah, then there are yet other perushim here. Based on the Gra, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky has another pshat, is that maybe we're talking about something Darsh Zaro Kala, where what grows is chulin. So, but we make you uproot it because you did a nisr, and the question. But here we wouldn't, right? So it's specifically there. Okay, fine. Now, if it reached a third, so then, as we said, you can't destroy it because it's truma, least or abana. So hadamr kedusha chal alav k'shim mechubar. This tells you that kedusha of truma can be chal even when something is attached to the ground, at least midir abana. Okay, so then hadamr, this teaches you hifrisho miperach lavir shlish lo kachu. That if you separate from truma that is not going to third, so it's not, right? Because again, the fact that third is the cutoff shows that before that it's not food, and therefore it won't be. Okay. Then if you planted the flax intentionally, so then you have to overturn it. So controversially, and we do this to be goes there that you don't get hana from the stalks, as we talked about before. So it's chayav in leket. So the idea that the poor Yisraelim collect it and then sell it to the Kohen, and we said again that you have to be machmir by planting it, but not inside by Maaser Ani, because we're worried that he might eat it, right? That was a tarfon. So now the Gemara has a parallel case. Rabbi Yossi boy, hifrish omrin shalom. If someone separated some of his piles of produce as truma, regular truma, just truma, minit chalfulo, and they got mixed up with piles of chulin, he can't tell which is which. So now, whatever is in it, right, the pay of the shekhech on their left might be truma. If you look in, Yisrael v'nei ha'konim locked, and still we allow the non-konim to take it, and then again, they'll have to deal with it and sell it, but they still have their rights to it. Ritarvon omer chulim, but again, Ritarvon says that they can't because they might eat it. So Tana, Yisrael shalom arsto chenedim, Yisrael shalchav rebizman shitmei, right? So now we talk about other cases where we might be worried. So the wife in Amaret, she's tamei, can grind grain together with the wife of a chaver, right? Someone who accepted the laws of tumah and Tara, afil bizman shitora lo tichon, but when she, if she's tmeya, right? Because a chaver, they keep the laws of tumah and Tara. That doesn't mean that they're always tamei. They're always tahor. Right? She could be tmeya, she could be a nida. That happens. It's just that she's aware of the halacha. Aval bizman shitora lo tichon, but when she's actually tahor, then she can't grind her grain together with the wife of an amaretz. She mechazeket atzma Torah mimena, because she's more Torah than the wife of the chaver. When she's not. I mean, the amaretz will think that she's Torah and she'll deal with it, and she's not. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, even if she's Tamei, shemetishkach v'titin doch piyah, because we're worried that maybe she'll eat it. Right? If touching the grain, she'll make it asur and forbidden. Right, so just as Ritarfon is worried that Israeli might forget that the things that are growing are truma and eat them, he might be worried the wife of the Aretz will forget she's tamei and eat the chaver's grain, bituma.
Sorry, right? So this is a far broader question. But with all of these things with Haverim, conceivably at some point in their lives, it was like quite conceivable that they either would accidentally or purposefully end up in contact with the corpse.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Which point, even back then, there was no fixing it.
Of course it was. Paraduma.
Not by this point.
I mean,
certainly not in the times of the Gemara.
Time of the Mishnah. At some point there wasn't, that's true. At some point...
Also, even the majority of the Tanaim were after the Churban.
Okay, but still, in principle, right, they were at least aware of their Tumot, and then they could deal with that. But you're right, if at some point they're going to be telling me...
But the concept of chaver exists even after.
Well, chaver means different things, but admittedly, yes, right. It's not totally clear, right, how all of this continues, right, at some point. But yeah, I think that's true. So then, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that no, only Tahor Kohanim can take these gifts. Now, what is he saying? Is he saying this rhetorically? Namely, that if you hold that non-Kohanim can't collect them, then even Tamei Kohanim shouldn't, right? Or he agrees with him, and he is more machmir. So, Kain Amadita, Im Kain Loik Dil Doran. So the Gemara says, no, the Im Kain shows you that it's rhetorical. He doesn't mean that Tamei Kohanim can't collect. He's like, if you were right, then Tamei Kohanim shouldn't collect, and we don't hold that way. B'chayevet b'maiser. So it's subject to maiser. And Kaini Matnita Chayevet b'chumot b'maiser, maiser b'maiser ani, right? That it's subject to chumot gedola, chumot maiser, and maiser ani. Litra b'tzalim. Now the Gemara says, Maiserishan stuff. Litra b'tzalim shal maiserishan shenata. If you have a measurement of onions of maiserishan that you planted in the ground, now it has 10 of these measurements. You have to give meiser again, right? Because now there's, right? They become regular tefel. Now, midaraita, the new growth is not considered an expansion of the original one, which is a chumrah here, right? Because now you have all these, and now it's not meiser, it's tevel, and therefore you have to separate. Umeoto meiserishon. And then from that new Maiserishan, you have to separate Trumat Maiser based on what you planted originally, because Midoraita, the Tevel, is Mevatel Maiserishan, the original ones, and therefore you have to separate. Right, so you would have been able to give one measurement of Maiserishan for the 10 litra, but the Rabbanan add that the original onions are not Batel, right, but they're true with the Chumrot of Maiserishan. So you have to separate another tenth of Trumat Maiser. Now, according to this, right, the Trumat Maiser for the original onions can be separated from the new Maiser Rishon, but in the Bavli, the Trumat Maiser that is taken must be taken from other Maiser Rishon and not this one. Litra Bitzalim, Shal Maiser Sheni Shinata, if you plant Maiser Sheni, Reba Ser Litra, there are 10, you know, Litra, Chayvet Maiser, the Chayvet Maiser, the Chozer Bodher Maiser Sheni Shabbat, and then you go and redeem the Maiser Sheni that you have.